Go with me, if you would, back to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. We just sang, "My hope is built on nothing less than the Lord Jesus Christ's blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on the Lord Jesus Christ's name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand." I want us to firmly stand on that tonight. Firmly stand on that. I want us to enjoy and rejoice in and take comfort in the fact that there is one sure foundation that we stand on. One sure foundation. Do you see how verse 4 in Ephesians 4, verse 4 says, "There is one." Verse 5 says, "One." Verse 6 says, "One." One. The title of this message is "One." One. All right, let's begin by looking at two verses of Scripture. Go with me over to John chapter 4. John chapter 4, verse 7. "There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." He said, "There is something that you don't know." That's what he said to her. There's something that you don't know. And then he exposed her for the sinner that she was. Down through those next few verses, he exposed her sin to her. And in verse 19, "The woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship, you know not what." He said, you go to church. But he said, "You worship, you know not what." He said, "There's something you don't know." And then he said, "You worship, you know not what." He said, "We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. And Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he." He said, "We know what we worship." And God's people do. We know what we worship. We know. All right, now turn with me over to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Second Timothy 1 verse 12, it says, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." We know what, we know whom. We know what we worship. We know whom. Now let's just enjoy that for a minute. All right, go with me back to Ephesians 4. Our text is three verses, 4, 5, and 6. In three verses, he declares 10 things. The first one in verse 4, he said, "There is one body." There is one body. I love knowing that. That's precious to me. There is one body. There's one congregation of saints. One. It does not matter geographically where they are. It doesn't make a bit of difference. There's a few here. There's a few there. There's a few in another place. If Christ is our head, then we are one body. Every true saint everywhere, we're one with them. Look with me at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1 verse 18. It says, "And he is the head of the body, the church." He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. He might be first in all things. He's the head of the body, the church. In order to decipher particular people in particular places, the scripture talks about the churches. It makes mention of the churches. But when it's talking about every soul God has chosen to save, they are called the church. The church. There is one body. One body. All right, now go back to Ephesians 4. Verse 4 says, "There is one body and one spirit." One spirit. You know, the world, they know that there are differences. There are differences among everybody. You know, there's differences with what your church preaches, differences with what this church preaches, and people are okay with that. Well, what do you believe? Well, it's probably a little different from what you believe. God's people know there's one spirit. There's one spirit. There's one body, and there is one Spirit. God's Holy Spirit is the one who comes to every single child of God. And when He comes to God's children, He does the exact same thing for every one of them. Look at it with me in John 16. John 16, verse 13, it says, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." Verse 14 says, "He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you." There's one Spirit, one Spirit. And what does God's Spirit do? He glorifies Christ. He glorifies Christ. That's all that the child of God wants to do. You know, we preach Christ because we want to preach Christ. We hear Christ because we want to hear Christ. When somebody says, well, that's not enough. That's not enough. I need more than that. I need you to challenge me. I need you to challenge my mind. I don't know what that is, but that's not God's Spirit. That's not the Spirit. God's people know there is only one Spirit, and He points me to Christ. He points me to Christ. All right, go back to Ephesians 4. Verse 4 says, there is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. There's one hope. There is one hope. What is it? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ's blood and righteousness. That's it. That's it. Nothing added to it, nothing that this scripture commands of any sinner to do. It's the blood of Christ alone. Whatever a person cannot stop talking about, that's what his hope is in. And you'll find this to be true. As you talk to people, you're going to run into people who are religious. And whatever a person cannot stop talking about, that's what his hope is in. Whatever a person is clinging to in his heart, that will continually come out of his mouth. If all that a person talks about is baptism, that's what his hope is in. That's what his hope is in. If all a person talks about is good works, that's what his hope is in. Yeah, but now the Bible says that's what his hope is in. If all a person can talk about is the blood and righteousness of Jesus Christ, then that's what his hope is in. It'll come out. Out of the heart, the mouth will speak. Do God's children believe in baptism? Absolutely. Do God's children believe in good works? Absolutely. But what is continually on their lips? I mean, continually. When somebody wants to come in and start sidetracking on this subject, God's people want to come right back to the blood of Christ alone. Well, the Bible says this. Don't you agree with that? Absolutely, I agree with that. But we're going to be on the blood of Christ alone. We're going to stay right there. The answer is Christ, the only hope. There's one hope, Christ. Verse 4 says, there is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. Verse 5 says, there is one Lord. There is one Lord. All of God's children cry, there is one Lord, and it's not me. It's not me. He is Lord. He is Lord. He is Lord by right. He's Lord by His own right. Go with me back over to Colossians 1. Colossians 1, verse 16. It says, for by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. He is Lord because He created and He owns everything. That's why He's Lord. He created everything. I've told our girls before, we are in charge because we are the parents. That's why. One of these days, if the Lord gives them their own kids, then they get to be in charge because they'll be the parents. Right now, that's not their right. That's not their right. He is Lord because He created it all. He created it all. He's Lord by right. He is also Lord because God the Father said He was. Look with me at Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. He's Lord because it's His right. He's Lord because God the Father declared Him to be. God declared He is Lord. Go with me to one more. Romans 14. Romans 14, verse 9, it says, "For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that He might be Lord both of the dead and living." He is Lord because He conquered death. He's Lord. He is risen from the dead and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. There's one Lord. One Lord. God's people know that. They know whom. All right, go with me back to Ephesians 4. Verse 5 says, there's one Lord, one faith. One faith. God's people know there is only one thing to believe. There's only one thing to believe. And what is that that God's people believe? It's this. This is all not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. This is not of ourselves. This is all the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. That summarizes salvation. That summarizes salvation. We are saved by God's free, sovereign grace. This is not of ourselves. It's the gift of God. Somebody say, what's the gift of God? Christ is. Salvation in Him. That's the gift of God. Eternal life. That's the gift of God. Eternal life. Verse 5 says, there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. God's children know that. They do. They know that. When a true believer is immersed into a pool of water, you know what that sinner is saying at that exact moment in time? When that sinner goes down under a pool of tap water, what he's saying at that moment in time is, this tap water is not my salvation. That's what he's saying. By doing that, he's saying, this is not my salvation. He's saying, my decision to get in this tap water is not my salvation. He's saying, I will not be one bit more saved when I get out of this tap water as I was before I went into the tap water. Because this is not my salvation. Christ is. Christ is. I'm going into this tap water to let everybody know that I died with Him. I died with Him. God's Holy Spirit has immersed me into Him. That's what we're saying. God's Spirit chose me, laid hold of me, and immersed me into the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the one and only true baptism. Verse 4. There's one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. And verse 6 says, there is one God and Father of all. Verse 4 says, there's one God the Spirit. Verse 5 says, there's one God the Son. Verse 6 says, there's one God the Father. One God the Spirit, one God the Son, one God the Father. This is an amazing thing to know. The Trinity, God the Father, Son, and Spirit. In Genesis 1, verse 26, they said, let us make man after our image. Let us make man after our image. In 1 John 5, verse 7, it says, there are three that bear record in heaven. There are three that bear record. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. Yet, verse 6 says, one God. One God. How many gods are there? How many thrones are there going to be in heaven? One. One. Well, are there three who rule and reign? Yes. And how many gods? One. One God the Spirit, one God the Son, one God the Father. These three are one. Verse 6, it says, one God and Father of all who is above all. Don't you love knowing that? Who is above all? He's above all. He is in control. That's what it means. He's in control. He's ordering everything. He's ruling and reigning over everything. It's all by His perfect design. It's all coming to a perfect end. He is above all. All of the terrors in the world are under His direct rule and command. The pestilence by day, the terror by night. He's above all. There's so much comfort in that. There is so much. There is nothing left to chance with God. Nothing. He is above me. And He reigns and He rules over me. Verse 6 says, there's one God and Father of all who is above all and through all. If it's happening, He's in it. I love whenever the disciples, you know, they quit after the Lord died, and they were so discouraged, and they said, we're not doing this anymore. I'm going back to fishing. They got in their boat and they toiled all night and they caught nothing. And the next morning the Lord said, children, do you have any meat? And, no. And He said, well, pick your net up and throw it right there. And it started sinking the boat. And they're fighting and they're trying to get it all in. And I believe it was John looked over at Peter and he said, it's the Lord. It's the Lord. It's the Lord. If it's happening, He's in it. If it's happening, He's controlling it. And through it, our good and His glory will come. It will. Verse 6 says, there's one God and Father of all who is above all and through all and in you all. Go with me over to John 17. John 17, verse 20. Our Lord said, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. What a blessed thing to know that and hear that. Aren't we so thankful that the Lord would record that conversation with His Father for us to read? That's His mind, that's His heart, that's His will. And we are so blessed to know it. To know it and believe it. That is the one gospel. The one gospel. Those three verses plainly declare the one gospel. And it's a glorious gospel. We thank the Lord for it. All right, let's stand together.